up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 172. In this episode, I'll discuss whether selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors should be discontinued in the setting of active bleeding. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode172. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. I'm excited to announce that I have teamed up with the Wegman School of Pharmacy, St. John Fisher College, to offer ACPE continuing education credit for listeners of the Elective Rotation podcast. Starting with the February 2017 episodes, I've bundled them into a one-hour ACPE CE program. You can register by heading over to pharmacyjoe.com and selecting Continuing Education from the menu. If enough participants register, I will publish additional CE programs based on other podcast episodes. Shout out to Pharmacy Jen for suggesting this episode topic. Serotonin is often thought of in the context of depression and is a neurotransmitter. However, serotonin and serotonin receptors are present throughout the body in myocardium, blood vessels, the GI tract, platelets, smooth muscle, and elsewhere. There are 7 different classes of serotonin receptors, 5-HT1 through 5-HT7, and many receptor classes have several different subtypes. Medications are classified as active against specific serotonin receptors based on relative ability to affect a receptor. Remember the irritable bowel syndrome treatment, tegaserod? Tegaserod is a serotonin 5-HT4 receptor agonist. While tegaserod had marginal effects on irritable bowel syndrome, it had significant effects on GI motility and the treatment of diabetic gastroparesis. It was being used off-label frequently in diabetic patients for promotility effects. Unfortunately, the 5-HT4 receptor is also present in myocardium. Tegaserod was soon found to have elevated risk of myocardial infarction and was withdrawn from the market. It's now available only under a special access program. And this example serves as a powerful reminder that just because a medication is selective against one particular receptor subtype in one area of the body does not mean others are unaffected. Serotonin also plays a vital role in the functioning of platelets. Inhibiting serotonin reuptake impairs platelet aggregation by decreasing the levels of platelet serotonin. For this reason, SSRIs and SNRIs have been investigated for the potential to increase bleeding. No randomized controlled trials have found an increased risk of bleeding with SSRIs and SNRIs. Data is limited to case reports and observational studies that have suggested an association between SSRIs and SNRIs and increased bleeding risk. In particular, the association between upper GI bleeding and subarachnoid hemorrhage have bleeding risk with SSRIs and SNRIs have been examined. Several meta-analyses have found a link between SSRI use and increased risk of upper GI bleeding. A 2010 systematic review found the following result. Epidemiologic studies show that SSRI use was associated with roughly doubled odds of upper GI bleeding. Bleeding at other sites has been less commonly described as has a possibly increased risk of bleeding associated with surgical procedures. The risk of SSRI-associated GI bleeding is increased with the concurrent use of NSAIDs, anticoagulants, and antiplatelet agents, and is decreased by concurrent proton pump inhibitors. The risk of bleeding is increased in patients with cirrhosis of the liver or liver failure. While a doubling of the risk of bleed sounds significant, it's important to remember this is a relative measure of risk. When absolute measurements of risk are taken into account, one study found the number needed to harm was 411, and another found the number needed to harm was 3,177. For this reason, the risk of upper GI bleeding with SSRIs is generally considered not clinically significant. Risks associated with SNRIs use are not well studied for upper GI bleeding. In subarachnoid hemorrhage, a 2012 meta-analysis found that SSRI exposure is associated with an increased risk of intracerebral and intracranial hemorrhage, yet given the rarity of this event, absolute risks are likely to be very low. The number needed to harm in this study was approximately 10,000. Risks associated with SNRI use are not well studied for subarachnoid hemorrhage. There are also drug interactions that may increase the risk of bleeding with SSRIs and SNRIs. The number needed to harm decreases sharply when NSAIDs are combined. One meta-analysis showed a number needed to harm of 106. And in this study, the median time from starting an SSRI to GI bleed onset was 25 weeks. A 2011 meta-analysis found that adding an SSRI to aspirin or aspirin plus clopidogrel, but not clopidogrel alone, increased the risk of hospital admission for GI bleeding. The increased risk was most pronounced when an SSRI was added to dual antiplatelet therapy, with a number needed to harm of 75. A 2014 analysis of the anticoagulation and risk factors in atrial fibrillation cohort of 13,559 adults with AFib found that hemorrhage rates were higher during periods of SSRI exposure compared with periods of no antidepressants. The authors of this analysis concluded SSRI exposure was associated with higher major hemorrhage risk in patients taking warfarin, and this risk should be considered when selecting antidepressant treatments in those patients. Based on available data, the likelihood that an SSRI or SNRI will cause bleeding in any given patient is low, but statistically significant. However, no data is available to evaluate the effects of continuing or holding SSRIs and SNRIs in the setting of active bleeding. One retrospective study found that SSRI or SNRI use prior to ICU admission is associated with increased hospital mortality. Because of the known effects of SSRIs on platelet aggregation and the association of these medications with bleeding, I believe it's prudent to temporarily hold SSRIs and SNRIs in patients who are actively bleeding. To minimize the chance of withdrawal symptoms, the SSRI or SNRI can be resumed after bleeding stops, as long as these medications were not implicated as a primary cause of the bleeding. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.